Good morning. We discussed last week, we ended with the concept of a choyev borer, that although there's an Isser HaKoyis, whenever there's litigation between two Jews, it has to be done in a bezdin. However, if there's an undisputed debt, a person owes money, he simply refuses to pay. So there, the Marsham wrote that there are shittas that hold that because there's no litigation, there's no judicial determination, there's no real question, it's clear the money is owed, it's simply a question of collecting. And collecting is something that a bezin cannot do. So Marsham writes the Isser HaKoyis would not apply, and a person could go straight to HaKoyis. Now he does write it as a midas chasidus to send a hazmana, but al pi halacha, it wouldn't strictly be necessary. Now, the Marash pointed out that this chiddush has pre-limited application. It applies only when there's no halacha shaylos. Typically, even if it's clear that someone owes the money, but if there's a question of which assets you're allowed to seize, how much time you're allowed to give him, misajin lebal choyev, once you're dealing with that, we now have halacha shaylos, and that would require a din Torah. But if it is clear, if there are no halacha shaylos, if you have a mortgage note where you're seizing an asset and you're going to seize it, you know, pursuant to the terms of the mortgage, there you would have these mekilim. Halacha l'maisa, what I typically tell people is that if they're in a rush and they can't wait for Beis Din, in the very least, do them both at the same time. You can start the process and then start sending your lawyer letters, but send the hazmona at the same time. Especially today, with the way the courts are backlogged on the foreclosures, you will be finished with the Beis Din process well before it ever makes its accord, and that way you're covered. Another very practical application, and I'm going to make it clear I'm saying this not halacha l'maisa, but at least conceptually, is very often people, when you're dealing with an eviction shaila, the person, the tenant, simply is not paying rent. Now, it could be he's an oinus, he lost his job, he can't afford it. But in halacha, when a person stops paying rent, there's really not much of a din Torah. If he doesn't pay rent, he has no rights to continue living in the unit. The whole agreement is he pays X amount of dollars a month, he's allowed to live there. So in halacha, there's no grace period. In halacha, there's really not much of a reason for a din Torah. If a person stops paying rent, you just lock the door. Now, legally, you're going to get yourself into trouble if you try that. You can't just change the locks on a tenant. And that's why you have to go through an eviction process to have it legally sanctioned and to enable yourself to get rid of the tenant. But if the case is clear, he's just not paying the rent, he doesn't have any claims that you're not giving enough heat or anything, he simply can't afford to, that l'chayr is a case of a choyev borer. And at least in halacha, there's a makom to say that perhaps you can do it directly without going through a din Torah. Again, if it comes up, you ask a shayla, but at least conceptually, there's a makom to say such a svar. Now let's begin today's topic, which is a question of insurance. What happens whenever there's a car accident? We went through the halacha, yisapi halacha, when you're chayiv, when you're pater. But very often today, when there's an accident, the parties want to go to insurance. Sometimes both parties want to go to insurance. The damage is enough that it is cheaper to go to insurance than it is to pay the claim directly. You'll have other cases where one party does. One party knows that if they go to insurance, they'll get a car rental, they'll get a greater reward that they're entitled to al pi halacha. Do you have the right to sue a person that has insurance or not? It applies by a car accident. It applies whenever you're dealing with malpractice. A person goes to a doctor, the doctor does something wrong, you want to sue him. So do we have a problem of our koyis suing him in civil court? Now, there are two separate issues we have to deal with. There's the issue of our koyis, the fact that you're litigating the matter in civil court. Insurance does not cover rewards, an award from a religious tribunal, from a Beis Din. And there's also the issue of causing him a loss. By filing this lawsuit, if there is a payment, his premiums will go up, he's going to end up suffering a loss. And the question is, do you have the right to impose that hefsid? Do you have the right to cause him to suffer this loss? So let's deal with the arkoyis issue first. Arkoyis, as we pointed out, applies when you're dealing with litigation between two Jews. A yid has a machlokes with another yid, he has to go to Beis Din. If a yid wants to sue a goy, the Tashbeit had a chiddush and said, he still has a chiyuv to go to Beis Din. But even the Tashbeit concedes, since the reality is a goy will not come to Beis Din, so you can go ahead and you can sue him in court. So, if you're suing an insurance company, the insurance companies do not go to Beis Din. So assuming they are owned by goyim, it should not be a problem. You're suing a goyish company, the iser of arkoyis does not apply. Now the truth is, it's not so simple. Because in a case, if you're dealing with a no-fault state, where you make a claim against your own insurance, so that's, you're making a claim against your insurance, that's between you and the goyish insurance company, you're not even going to court, you're just, it's usually just a direct claim, that there's no shiloh. If then your insurance company turns around and sues his insurance company, that's litigation between two goyim. It's one insurance company against the next, and clearly there's no iser arkoyis. In that case, neither of the parties is Jewish. The problem is, what happens if you're dealing with a malpractice, or you're dealing with a state that's not no fault? There, you sue the driver directly. The litigation is between you and him. If you win the case, the insurance steps in and they pay out the award on his behalf. They may even send a lawyer to represent them during the case to make sure that their rights are protected. But you don't sue the other person's insurance company. You're not their client. You have no direct claim against them. They're not the one that hit your car. Your claim is against the other driver. And the insurance company just steps in and makes that payment. And with malpractice as well, you're suing the doctor. Now you know if you win, the doctor won't take money out of pocket. There'll be someone, there's a company waiting in the background, they'll make the payment. But the litigation itself is between the two Jews. And therefore, it should be a problem of arkoyis. Now if it is arkoyis, even if the person tells you, I don't want to pay, go sue my insurance, it shouldn't help. Because as we learned, arkoyis is not waivable. Even a Chiyush name writes him, even if they both prefer going to court, we have the same issue of arkoyis. So it'll come at an interesting situation. If the person refuses to come to Beis Din, he says, go after my insurance, I am not coming to Beis Din, he's a loitzayis din. By loitzayis din, you'll get a heter arkoyis. You can go sue. But if he's willing to come to Beis Din, or if he asks the shayla, do I have the right to become a loitzayis din? It should be awesome. Now, what many poskim today say is that that's not true. And they say a svara, there's no makar and halacha for the svara, but it's a very mistavridik of svara. And what they say is like this. It's true in a technical sense that when you're suing another driver, it's litigation between two Jews. And it's true technically if you're suing the doctor, you're Jewish, he's Jewish, there should be an iser arkoyis. But everyone understands that there's insurance here. There's an insurance, very often there's a lawyer representing the insurance company, and the judge, the jury, and everyone in the room realizes that the whole reason, this whole litigation is there for one reason, to make an insurance claim. And since everyone realizes it's there to make an insurance claim, and everyone knows you can't make an insurance claim by going through Beis Din, what many places can say is, in such a case, we ignore the technicality, the fact that technically you're suing another yid, and we say there's no meyakir elilim. You're not showing a chashivus to a foreign body of law. You're not rejecting halacha. Everyone realizes you're just doing this to get money from an insurance company. It's not meyakir elilim. There's no other way to do this. And therefore, most places can say there will not be an iser arkoyis. This leads us then to the second problem. When you file the lawsuit, he's going to have a loss. His premiums will go up. Do you have the right to file this lawsuit if it will cause him a hefsek? Now, in a case where al pi halacha, he's responsible for the damage. And for him, he'd rather you go to the insurance because he doesn't want to pay out of pocket. So clearly in that case, he's being Michael. He's telling you, I don't care about the premiums. I'd rather not pay out of pocket. I'd rather you go to the insurance. So he can't turn around afterwards and say, you're causing me a loss. The question is, what happens if in halacha he doesn't owe you the money? Or in halacha, the amount that he owes you, it's not worth his while, and he'd rather you don't put in the claim against the insurance. So then our question is, can a person file the lawsuit, and is he responsible for the hefsid, for the fact that the person's premiums will go up in the future? So there's an interesting tshuva. There are actually a few tshuvas about similar cases. The Chavis Yar deals with the following situation. A person lent money to a governor. It was a large sum of money. It was a powerful governor. And when it came time to collect, the governor told him, you know, it's true. I owe you the money. And I really should pay you. But you should know, if you try to collect this debt, I'm going to expel every Jew that lives in my province. Now the Jews are panicked. Being expelled, besides the hefsid, back then they had no place to go. It was perhaps a sakana. And they went crying they brought the malva to a din Torah and said, you have no right to collect this debt if it's going to cause us a loss. Zog the Chavis Yor, they're wrong. The malva lent money to the governor. He's entitled to his money back. Now the governor is threatening, if you collect the money you're entitled to, I'm going to take it out on the Jews. Okay, that's a terrible thing. And we should all get together and try to prevent that. But you can't force someone to lose money that he's entitled to because maybe afterwards that person will get angry and take it out and be honest and harm another yid. You have the right to collect the money that you're entitled to. And what happens afterwards, any indirect damage that you cause, is not your responsibility. Now, the Chavis Yor does qualify it. There are other cases, we're not going to go through all of the pratim, but there are other cases where, by you protecting yourself, you directly cause other people damage. That will have a different halacha. One example is where they impose a tax on a group of people. There's a set amount of taxes. They impose, the Jewish community has to pay $3 million of taxes. If you go to the governor and you lobby him that he should exempt you, by exempting you, you're directly increasing everyone else's share. That's not called an indirect damage that happens afterwards. That's direct. That's a garmi. There he says it's a shutvis. And there, you wouldn't be able to do it. But if it's a question of I'm collecting money that I'm owed, and we happen to know this guy is threatening, he's going to take revenge on the Jews afterwards, that's indirect, it's not muhak that it will happen, and there in such a case, the Chavis Yor paskins, it will be mutter. Oh, very good. So what the Erech Shai points out, and it's mashma like Tesis as well, is that you can do this in one of two cases. In the case of the Chavis Yor, the governor owed you the money. He borrowed it. He owes it al pi halacha, he owes it bin yinehem, he's just not paying. So to collect what's due to you according to halacha, you're allowed to do. And if afterwards someone else may have a hefsid, you don't have to worry about that. The Erech Shai adds that even in a case where in halacha he doesn't owe you a penny, but bidinehem, he owes it to you. So the halacha is, if you're dealing with a guy, and bidinehem, you have, according to civil law, you have a claim against him, halacha recognizes that. And you have the right to ask him to pay what he owes you bidinehem. So in such a case, even though in halacha, if he would have been a yid, he wouldn't owe you the money. But since he's a guy, and a guy, bidinehem, if in civil law he owes it to you, you would have the right to collect that, you're entitled to it, and you wouldn't have to worry about the consequences. On the other hand, the Erech Shai continues. The Erech Shai's case is where a person had a house, it burned down, and the governor didn't let him build the house. They wanted to use it as a shortcut. The person sued the governor. You know, you seized my property, it's a taking, I'm entitled to compensation. The courts ruled in his favor, you have to pay, go to a third party, and whatever the assessment is, the governor has to pay. Two things happened. The first thing happened is that the governor said, okay, but he decreed that the people who are going to have to, whatever the award is, the Jews have to pay. That's it. The Jews have to pay. No good reason for it, but that's what he did. The second thing that happened is that the person who owned the property bribed the assessor, and he jacked it up. That he wanted to raise the value. It would have a better LTV, whatever it was. So he got the fellow to give a very high assessment. So the Jews now came complaining. They said, first of all, you should drop your claim against the government, because they already decreed that whatever award is, we're going to have to pay it out. So you're causing us a loss. Number two, even if we have to pay, you bribed the judge. You got an award that you're not entitled to. That extra amount we shouldn't have to pay. So the Erech Shai Paskins, on the first count, you can't force him to drop the claim. He's entitled to his claim against the government because they seize his land. He can put in the claim. What happens afterwards? What they do? They take it out of the Jews. They don't. That's not his concern. But if you go ahead and you bribe them, and because of that you get a higher award, you're not entitled to that alpi halacha. You're not entitled to that alpi dinayim. So in such a case, that extra hefsid that you're causing, that the person is, that the community now has to pay out more, that he says we have the right to stop, and therefore you only have the right to claim what you're entitled to either legally or alpi halacha. If you're going to go ahead and exaggerate, you're going to commit some fraud. That is going to be a problematic l'kuliyam. It's true. There'll be pity. If they get put in prison, you'll have a pity in Shvuyin. We'll take out full-page ads in the Yedid, and everyone will try to save them. But you can't say that it's the lender's responsibility because he's collecting the debt that's owed to him. He's doing what's his. What happens afterwards, the fact that he's going to be ma'ana someone, is everyone's problem. You can't put it all the burden on him and tell him to walk away what he's entitled to. No, he's not a roidif. He is collecting his money. That's all he's doing. The guy is afterwards linking things that have no connection. There's no reason to expel the Jews because he's collecting his money. So as long as you're doing what you're entitled to and you're just collecting money that he should pay you, what he'll do afterwards because he gets angry, the Chavos Yoreh says, is not your direct responsibility. What? In a sense, but really it's less direct because the insurance company is not making the other person pay. If the insurance company is going to go around and sue that person for the damage that he caused, we can talk about that. And it's worse there because you're assigning your rights. But what happens with insurance is they just raise the rates. The next time you want to buy insurance from them, they tell you you're a higher risk. Because you're a higher risk, we're going to make you pay more. That's very indirect. And that can't be worse than a groan. If alpi halacha he owes you nothing, then if whatever you're collecting, this whole discussion is that because you're getting it from the insurance, if you have a legal right to it, you can take it. But if you're suing for more than the insurance is, then he's covered. He has $1 million coverage. You're suing for malpractice. There's a $3 million award. Anything above what he's insured for is going to be gezel. And the same token, if he has a deductible, if in halacha he doesn't owe you a penny, then forcing him to pay the deductible is also going to be gezel. Usually there'll be some halachic liability. So what that deductible will cover it. Okay, in such a case, if you're forcing him to pay the deductible, which alpi halacha he doesn't have to pay you, you probably would have a chiyuv to refund that deductible. Okay, so fine. So if the insurance company is the only one that's paying, that's fine. But when there's a deductible, the insurance company is going to pay part, and the homeowner will pay part. So what the homeowner is paying, if in halacha he doesn't owe you, is extortion. No comment. You can draw your own conclusions. So that's the Erech Shai's case. If the damage is $2,000 and you're lying to the insurance company and getting So wait a second. If their policy is that's how they make payments, so That's how they're making payments. That's you know, the same way they pay for car rentals, where in halacha you don't have a claim. That's how they assess, because they assume you're going to go to a body shop, you're going to paint, match up the paint, you're going to replace everything, you're going to fix it the right way, the way many goyim do fix their cars. So you're entitled to that. It's when you go ahead and the person slips a couple of dollars to the assessor and he goes ahead and fudges things, there you have the Erech Shai. Because bidinehem, they don't owe it to you, and you're extorting money from them, or you're taking money from them that you're not entitled to. And by doing that, you're causing a hefsa to another, to the other person. There, there'll be responsibility. Now, if there's no hefsa to another yid, I'm not saying it's mutter, but at least the other yid is not a baldover. He's the, not the one that can stop you. Now, the problem over here is, this all assumes, the Chavos Yair's case, and Taisus' case, the guy owes you money. So if you, the halacha is, you can collect money that you're owed, even if it may be going to mehefsta later on to another Yisrael. The problem is that if we go back with the insurance company, like we said before, it's not so simple. When a person goes to a doctor, the doctor messes up. Does the doctor's insurance company owe the patient money? No. Like we said before, the doctor is a mazik. And halacha either is chayev or is patur. If you sue him and you prevail, the insurance company now has to step in and make the payment on behalf of the doctor. But until that happens, you have no direct claim. The insurance company doesn't owe you anything. So Bishlam, in the case of the Chavos Yair, where the guy owes you money, so if you someone owes you money and you can collect it, you don't have to worry that maybe this guy will go ahead and go on a rampage afterwards. But if the guy doesn't owe you money, and you just have a way, you're going to sue a yid, after you sue the yid, he'll owe you the money. Once he owes you the money, the guy has to step in, and that way you'll get money from a guy. So there, you're not collecting something that you're entitled to. You're initiating this whole process, which at the end of the day, you're going to profit from. So go ahead and to set up or create a situation where a guy will owe you money, where this will cause a loss to a Yisrael. Here we won't have the Chavos Yair's heter anymore. And over here, if this is what's happening, if it's not you're not collecting money that's owed to you, you're going to initiate a process which will create an obligation for a guy. But by initiating this process, another Yisrael will have a hefsid. Here it's not so pashut. And here there's a very strong argument in halacha that if it is causing a hefsid, you wouldn't be able to do it. That's true, but the point is the insurance company is never liable. When they're paying you, they're going to pay you because they know if they don't pay, you're going to sue. And if you sue, their client's going to lose. And if their client's going to lose, then they're going to have to pay. So to short circuit that whole process, they'll cut you a check and tell you to go home. But the question is, you have the right to initiate this process. Right now, the guy owes you nothing. You're going to set up a situation where, but going initiating this process will cause someone a hefsid. That's true. Arkoyis, we're not talking about. If it was the issue of Arkoyis, then Arkoyis would be a problem. But we pointed out before that what many contemporary poskim say is, because everyone understands this litigation involves an insurance company, there's no miyakar elilim, everyone knows you can't go to bez, and there's no issue of Arkoyis. We're dealing with the fact that you're going to cause someone a loss. They certainly have an interest, but they're not the one, they're not the defendant. The defendant is the doctor. He is the one that killed the patient. The insurance company is a part, because they're going to end up paying out that award, they have the right to be represented, they have the right to join the lawsuit. But they're not the defendant.
The insurance company decided
not to pay. Okay. So what'll come out is, it'll come out a very interesting halal. If there was a direct claim against the insurance, which if many of the Eretz Yisrael poskim, and I think in Eretz Yisrael the insurance works differently, they assume there is a direct claim, and therefore they say there's no problem. But if the claim is indirect, there is very strong makom to say that you're responsible to pay for the increase in premiums. However, what there are so different svaras that are said, this may not be true in many cases. Because let's say you use a plumber. This plumber advertises fully licensed and insured. He wants people to use him. You use the plumber, and he's taka licensed and insured. But when he messes up and you make a claim against the insurance, he pops up and says, "Wait a second, you're being gari mi hefsid. My premiums are going up." Does that make sense? I used you because you said you have insurance. Now, when I want the insurance, you're telling me, "But you're being gari mi hefsid to pay for my premiums." That means you don't have insurance. So basically, whenever you're dealing with a case where the person advertises, "I'm insured," he's basically telling you, "I have no problem or no issue with you putting in a claim. And if the rates go up, that's my problem. That's what I'm doing business as someone who's insured. That is one of the costs of doing business." Now, in the case of a doctor, even though they generally don't advertise fully licensed and insured, I think, but an argument can be made if word would get out that you cannot sue a Jewish doctor for malpractice because his rates will go up. I think people would stop using Jewish doctors. I think it's understood that when a person uses a doctor, people insist that the doctor have malpractice coverage. They insist that they have insurance. They have a recourse if something goes wrong. And therefore, a strong argument can be made that in these situations where it's understood you have insurance, it's understood there will be a claim, they can't afterwards jump up and say that there's a garama, you're causing me losses, and it's part of doing business. On the other hand, in a slip and fall case, if you're walking by someone's house and you slip on his sidewalk, I don't know if this svara would apply. You never did business with him. There was never any arrangement. He doesn't have to have insurance. So in such a case, where for your benefit, you want to sue an insurance to get money that you're not entitled to al pi halacha, and doing that will cause the other party a hefsid, it is very likely a problem of grama. And unless you're willing to cover the person's expense, the fact that his premiums will go up, it is very questionable whether you can do so. Like a doctor, because cars are probably even better. Because to drive, you legally need insurance. So it's understood, I think, that you have insurance. It's there for when there's an accident. And everyone knows that, you know, the insurance premiums going up is just one of the risks of driving. Now there is just another svara which is mentioned, and again sometimes it's really fact sensitive, it depends on the case. But another svara is that it could be it's not a grama. Because a normal case of grama is I cause someone a loss. It's indirect, but I caused them a loss. On the other hand, if you have this doctor, the doctor killed the patient. The next year he comes to renew his insurance, and his rates go up. Is that called a hefsid, the fact that his rates go up? No. These high rates are really, they reflect the reality. He's a lousy doctor. He is a dangerous doctor to insure. It's a high risk. So the actuaries swing into action based on the fact that this person did this kind of error. The insurance company says it doesn't make sense to insure you if you pay us less than this amount. So what's happening is the person is really just paying the fair market value for malpractice for being a miserable doctor or for being a doctor that messed up. So this claim in a normal case where you're goyer mehefsid, you cause someone to lose, he gets expelled, he gets kicked out of the city. You're getting goyer, he's suffering a loss. In this case, all you're doing is that you're enlightening the insurance company that this person is a bad risk to take. And if you're going to insure him, make sure that you have enough money, make sure that you have enough, you know, that your premiums are high enough to make the risk worthwhile. Good. There is such a svara. It's hard to argue that in a case of a car where you need it to drive, you could say don't drive, but it's hard to argue that it's not a grama. It's something which a normal person needs to do. It may be a svara why it wouldn't be garmi, but I think regardless, it's not a garmi.
Can the doctor take the patient to bed?
Very good. So if you look at the letter that the tshuva that we put out, it wasn't in the Maram Klaimus list. I didn't want to send it around electronically. But there was a fight recently with a doctor who was accused of really bad malpractice, really terrible negligence. And the patient, whatever, it was a terrible story. The patient's family sued the doctor, and the insurance was ready to pay out a huge settlement because it seems there was a real issue. The doctor claimed that this whole story was fabricated. It never happened. It was literally an Alila's Dam. It was an extortion attempt, and that they're just being railroaded. And they tried, they sent Hasmonos saying, come to Bezin to deal with the matter. So there's a letter, there were two different letters that came out, but there's a letter from B'Shem Rabbo Yashiv, it was written by Rav Efrati, making two points. The first point they make is that suing a doctor is not a problem of Arkoyus or Gezel, and you're allowed to take whatever reward that the insurance pays. Now again, the letter's in Eretz Yisrael, so it doesn't really prove in America, but that was the first point. Arkoyus and Gezel, if there's an insurance reward, that's fine. However, he continues, if the doctor claims this whole thing is baloney, and it's just an extortion attempt, then he has the right to bring you to Bezdin, just to determine, is this claim legitimate or no? Bezdin won't don whether in halacha you're entitled to the money. Bezdin won't don, maybe it's, you know, you're putter because it's a grama, mazik, shoygig. We're not going to deal with the underlying matter. We're going to deal with one question. Is this a legitimate claim that bidinehem, the insurance, should pay? Or is this just being exaggerated and pumped up in a way to extort money? And that, he writes, you have a chiyuv to go to Beis Din to just to deal with that matter.
What kind of way to collect the judgment?
So again, there is such a halacha, if you go to court and afterwards, after you lose, you wake up and you want to go to a din tayra, Beis Din won't take the case. Again, we went through the halachas 2 weeks ago, that will apply in some cases. It's a defendant, exactly. Right, so that was a machlokas. Whether if a defendant didn't make a machla and didn't try to bring it to Beis Din during the case, whether we can wake up afterwards, and that was a machlokas. There were some shitas that said it would apply there as well. And we actually had to deal with the case. There was a homeowner was fell behind on their mortgage, which unfortunately is not very uncommon, and the house is in foreclosure. What they were advised to do was to stop the foreclosure. They sued the mortgage broker, the lender, and the title company for fraud. And they had a whole story about how with the mortgage application and this and that, they had a whole... Now, the title company, which was owned by a firm person, came to Beis Din and said, this whole thing is baloney. What happened is that because they were in foreclosure, their lawyer advised them the way to gum up the foreclosure is, normally you're trying to get a loan modification, they don't want to do it. The moment you file a lawsuit, there's fraud, and they see there's a whole mess on their hands, they'll settle with you. So file the lawsuit just to force the bank to come to a settlement. So the title company said, it's very nice, you want to go ahead and do this. So first of all, you have no business lying to get a settlement. But what you do is your business. But we are stuck, because I have to hire a lawyer to defend myself. I'm going to have to spend a huge amount of money, and my premiums are going to go up. So for you to go ahead and file this lawsuit just as a negotiation tactic to strong-arm a bank to settle, when you're going to cause me a hefset, you have no right to do. So the truth is, based on that, he would have a claim. Because it's one thing to file a claim when it's legitimate, and b'dinehem, you have the right to get that money. So then you may have the right to put in the claim. But if you're exaggerating, you're doing it just as a negotiation tactic, that l'kuliyam would be also, and you'd be responsible for whatever hefsid the title company would have. Mm-hmm. Very good. So it'll depend what's happening. If they're going to go after the other insurance company, then it's not a problem, because one insurance company is suing another insurance company, it's not an issue. Now, generally, if a person has insurance and there's an award, paid out, he doesn't have to reimburse the insurance company for the award. That's what the insurance is for. On the other hand, if the case is such where you're going to have to assign your rights and they're going to sue him directly, and they're going to, because of that lawsuit, recover more than they're entitled to pay halacha, you have a very serious shaila. Rav Sulman, it was in the Maram Kremis we gave out last week, which we didn't get to in the shir, but Rav Sulman in such a case says that it's awesome. But in practically speaking, I don't think it happens, because usually it's one insurance against the other insurance. Fine, but okay. In that case, where the insurance company is suing the individual and his insurance will cover. So the same way, if I sue the individual and the insurance will cover, many places will tell you that since it's understood there's insurance involved, there's no issue of our case. So certainly over here, what the Ayar Koyas won't apply. You have to deal with a Gromo case. But as far as the Gromo, you're also better off in this case. Because here, you're getting money from your insurance company. They owe it to you, because they have a contract with you. That's owed. That's like the Chavos Yar. Now, because of that, they may go after someone else, and the Goyer Mehefsid, that's more like the Chavos Yar's case. The problem that we're dealing with is when you're going directly after his insurance, where there's no contractual relationship. And that's why we have the issue. But when you're claiming it from yours, where you do have a contract, that is much easier in halacha.
What about like if the guy says, I want to go insurance, I'll settle with you.
So like this, if he's willing to pay you what the amount the insurance is, so then that same taisis that we're basing this whole heter on, that I can go after a guy either, and don't have to worry what the guy will do afterwards, that same taisis says that when he's willing to pay you your hefsid, you have no right to do this. That being said, get it in cash. Because I cannot tell you how many times people come to Beis Din where there was an accident. One said, let's go to the insurance. The other said, nah, let's settle. I'll pay you. Just go, bring it to whoever you want. I'll foot the bill. And it doesn't happen. So you have to be very careful. Be very careful. People are be very, very quick to make that offer. Make sure you're covered. Make sure you get it. Because there are very often problems afterwards. Mm-hmm. Again, with the car accident we pointed out before, that according to many Paiskim, you're accepting that grumble and you don't have to worry about the premiums going up. Slip and fall cases, you don't have your insurance and his insurance, so that just doesn't come up.
Your medical insurance company is going to go after his
grumble. Right, exactly. You'll have different variables. Just to end off the Indian of our Arkois, the judges are run. It said, "Shavtu esa mishpat tzedek." So, what does it mean, mishpat tzedek? What different kinds of mishpat are there? So, the Ran explains that there are two types of mishpat. He says, "Halacha chayish mishpat is mishpat tzedek." Blayin shleilim, we have the Torah set defines mishpatim, what chiyuvim of a shomer, chiyuvim of a mazik. It doesn't change. It is what it is. This is mishpat tzedek. In contrast, there's what he calls the Mishpat Medini. If you look at civil law is constantly evolving. And the reason for that is that it's not based necessarily on a philosophy of what's wrong and what's right. It's based on practicality. You have society, you have commerce, it's got to work. So the laws are set up to be the most effective, the most efficient way to resolving issues. You have a worker that hits someone. I don't think anyone would say that Al Pisvara, his boss, should have to pay for the hefsid. But Bidinehem, because the boss is the one that usually has the deeper pockets and he's the one who can choose who he can hire, will shift the cost to him because it just works better for society. Zok V'ran, it comes out that if you compare Goyisha law with the Mishpat Tzedek, with Choshe Mishpat, very often in a practical sense, it'll come out that the Goyisha law will seem and will be more practical. Because it's based, it changes, and it's based on how to just make commerce work. So, as long as it's done well and thought out well, it'll talk to be more effective. Ma'ashegen, when you're following halacha, when it doesn't change, it doesn't adapt necessarily to the circumstances, that will at times be less practical. Zok V'ran, afal pikein, there's a chiyuv of shavtu esa mishpat tzedek. And he says the same way when a person brings karbonos. Everyone has emunah. That by bringing karbonos, by doing being oisik in mitzvahs, then a person is zoicha to a shefa bracha. And while shechting an animal doesn't directly make a person wealthier or bring a person hatzlacha, the fact that he's being oisik in the mitzvahs and the fact that he's being makrav the karbonos and doing his avodas Hashem is what will make him roi and zoicha for the shefa bracha and for hatzlacha. So the Ran says the same thing is true by Mishpat Tzedek. Even in a case where, in a practical sense, the Mishpat seems less efficient or less effective than a Goyisha law, but keeping the Mishpat Tzedek, being Zohar in the halachos of Choshe Mishpat, is a mitzvah just like the mitzvah of being Makar Karbonos and any other mitzvah. And the same way we have emunah, that every time we're oisik in a mitzvah, it contributes to our hatzlacha, sayin olam hazeh and olam haba. He says the same thing is true with mishpatim. And I think it really just opens up another outlook. And very often people, when you deal with the Isser of Arkois, people are bothered by the fact that certain civil laws seem more reasonable or seem more effective. What the Ran is saying is that is true, but it's totally irrelevant. Because just like many mitzvahs, many chukim, we don't understand what's wrong with shatness, we don't understand why kosher food we could eat, we can't eat, and something which is not kosher we can't. But that's not the point. It may be a chayk, but it's the fact that we are listening to the Dvar Hashem and we're following the mitzvahs is what our ultimate hatzlacha is totally in. Now there was an email sent around asking for just responses about what people's schedule will be over the summer. At this point, our plan is to go straight through the summer. But if there are people who are going to be away for any particular week or for the whole summer, please respond by email so we can plan accordingly. We also, Mir Tashem, I wrote up a summary of a synopsis of the Shiurim on Arkais. So anyone who we have their email address will get a copy. So if you can respond to the survey, or if we don't have your email address, if you want to give it in to Reb Aaron, it would be helpful. Let's go.